Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFK.
Just 36 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome into The Hull Show. Welcome back to The Hull Show, I should say. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, great friend of the show, is Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, I'm going to ask you our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Are you buying into the Rockies hype?
No.
Okay, good. Now, I'm not there. I'm enjoying the moment, but I'm not buying
exactly.
It.
Exactly. I mean, you know, think of it this way. They play 162 games, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to make that into a – if you're going to compare that to a football season – you've got to play, what, like 11 games or something? I mean, to equal one football game?
That's a great point. So they're like one, and they're going to be like 1-0 then pretty soon.
Well, yeah, exactly right. And so you know, and listen, what are they going to have to lose in the opener? They've won, is it four in a row?
Yeah, so they're four, what are they, 4-1?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like they're 0.4-0 right now.
There you go. There you go. And so that's why, you know, Coach Barnett always tells me, you know, during the college football season, he always says, a team, you do not know what a team is until they're five games in, okay? And so if you're going to compare that, you know, that's a college football deal right there. If you're going to kind of compare that to Major League Baseball, I mean, heck, you're going to have to play five games in. I mean, so you're almost halfway. You're going to have to play, what, 70 games or something to really know what they're all about. Right?
Yeah. No, I'm saying if by May 15th, maybe a little later, they're still like five or six games over 500 and the bullpen's still performing, then maybe I start to believe a little bit. But we've been here. This is April. Rockies are amazing in April.
No doubt about it, man. There have been some good starts over there. I've been around here 18. This is my 19th season now. I've been in town here since I got here from watching the Rockies, and there've been a lot of nice starts. That all of a sudden, once you get into June and July, and then things kind of go south. And so, let's enjoy it. You know, that's one thing we do in sports all the time, Brady. We have to jump the gun all the time. We've got to be going, oh, my God, this is great. You know, we see college basketball game. It's one of the greatest games ever. Well, let's hold on a second. Let's sit back and enjoy it and just kind of watch what unfolds. And over the course of time, the stats will begin to tell us exactly what this team is. And, you know, then the injury thing is going to hit everybody at some point in time. And so let's enjoy the 4-1 start right now and just cheer on our team in purple, right?
Yeah, and we'll see. You know, they get the day off today after a grueling start to the season. So get a nice day off. Mark, I was I saw your Twitter. I saw you were hanging out with a Buff celebrity there with Mr. Philip Lindsay the other day.
No, actually, Philip Lindsay was hanging out with the Buffs celebrity.
That's right. That's right. Did you give him the autograph? Because I know that's what he's been trying to get. Or maybe he already has one.
Yeah, we took a photo on his phone and that kind of stuff. No. Yeah, he was out there at practice the other day at the scrimmage on Saturday. And so I, you know, wanted to catch up with Phil. And, you know, listen, I think of all the years I've been doing this, he's one of my favorite guys ever to cover just because of the genuineness that Phil always has. Wears his heart on his sleeve, loves the program. You know, we're standing out to the field. At one point in the interview, I said, you know, this is a field that, you know, you left your blood, sweat, and tears on, literally, for a guy like that. Mm. So, yeah, one of my favorites ever. So, yeah, you can go to my Twitter account, at MJ Buffs Voice, and you can check out that interview with Phil. And I did ask him where he thought he was going to end up. At this point, he's not sure what's going to happen in the NFL, but I hope he gets a few more years in and gets to that pension area and makes at least one more nice contract in the National Football League.
I do, too. And, man, Mark, there for a moment, I really thought Philip was, you know, I talk about looking in the future. I tend to do that. I get a little excited sometimes. But I was like, oh, watch out. Philip Lindsay, he's going to do that number 30 proud. He's going to break records. And again, for 2 years, you know, he looked really good. So I was – he's one of them, man, that I was really bummed to see. Obviously, the Colorado connection, but he just – I love his attitude. I love his demeanor. And you know that better than anybody. It was a bummer to see him leave Denver.
No doubt about that. I was brokenhearted by that. I really was. I thought they should have kept him around. You know, now, we know about the running back position. I mean, in this day and age, you know, watching a guy play 12, 13 years as a running back in the NFL just doesn't happen. I mean, you know, that 8-9, that's a long NFL running back career. I thought they could have given Phil one more contract, a 2 or 3 year deal. Let him play that out. You know, he's going to be about 5 years in. And then, you know, then who knows? Because that's such a demanding and brutal, physically brutal position that they play. And so I was disappointed by that because not only is he a hometown kid, as you point out, but just the way in which he plays, he's a great locker room guy, he's an energy guy, all the things you like, but you know, they decided to go elsewhere, and so he's bounced around with Houston and then Miami, and I just hope he gets another chance here and give him a couple more years in the NFL.
Yeah, me too. I'm with you there for sure. Did you guys talk any about his departure, you know, away from the Broncos? Did that conversation come up much?
We didn't get much into that. I mean, you know, it's you know, that he's crossed that bridge at this point in time.
Right.
And, you know, it's just disappointing. And, you know, I was always with that previous coaching staff of the Broncos. I was always hearing that, you know, Pat Shermer was never a big fan of his. And I'm trying to figure out what exactly you don't like. Now, you may say, you know, he's a little small side, right? But from an NFL running back standpoint, he's not the biggest guy in the world. I get that. But how you can look at Philip Lindsay and say, yeah, I just don't want more of that on my team. Because there are so many qualities that just went down the list there, that he has, that you want in your locker room and the way he plays and how hard he plays. And I don't know, his teammates just loved him, for goodness sakes. And so I never quite understood that. And I'm not, I don't know Pat Shermer, to be honest with you, but I've always wanted, I'd love to meet him sometime and go, seriously. I mean, outside of, okay, he's not the biggest guy. I get that. But you know, you weren't asking him to be, you know, a 20-carry guy, you know, per ball game. You were talking 7, 8, 9 carries and maybe a couple of passes on the backfield as a, you know, one of those kind of guys. What do you not like about the guy? I don't get it. So I'd love to ask that question at some point.
Yeah, it's funny to even hear Melvin Gordon and some of the other former players talk about Noah Fant talking about Pat Shermer, the way that they were utilized. And now you look at Noah Fant, and he's the first one from that class to get a contract extension. So clearly Seattle looks at that guy and goes, wow, you were being underutilized. Let's use you as the player you were supposed to be. So, yeah, if Pat Shermer's saying it, boy, it's hard for me to put much stock into it.
I just, you know, I've always been fascinated by this all my years covering college and NFL. It seems to me there are two kinds of coaches. There are guys that I've got my system, and we're going to run my system, and I don't care what players you've got out here, you guys are going to play my system. The truly innovative coaches, you know, the Bill Belichicks of the world, I've always been impressed by. They look at as much as painful as it is for us here in Colorado to look at the New England Patriots, look at the different ways over the years that Bill Belichick has won with that franchise, right?
Right.
I mean, they've had years where Tom Brady was throwing it all over the yard. Then they have had years where they're more physical, they ran the ball very effectively, and still Tom's going to do what Tom did. And then they've had great defensive teams. And so that has always made more sense to me. Be innovative and look at your team and say, how am I going to fit the concepts that I like to do? Sure. But how am I going to fit that system into this team and not this team into my system? It seems to me that's the smarter way to go, especially in the NFL where you've got such I mean, everybody up there is a great athlete, for goodness sakes. And if you put guys in real good positions, they can make plays. And so, yeah, it has always been a head-scratcher. Maybe that's part of the reason why that staff's not here with the Denver Broncos anymore.
Yeah, no, a bunch of decisions like that ultimately led to their departure. Again, Philip Lindsay was a spark plug, and certainly hope, like you said, hope he lands on his feet. Mark, what else from the scrimmage on Saturday? You know, I know Buffs fans just eager to learn more and more about this team and, you know, what their next step's going to look like, what next season's going to look like. What can you tell us from Saturday?
Well, you know, I watch this team. First off, you know, the receiver numbers especially are down. Well, they've had a few guys that have been dinged up. They've got, you know, more fellas coming in. You know, once they get to the end of the semester, some of the freshmen will be here. And so there's not a lot of depth. And so there's times I watch and I'm wondering, okay, you know, they're not going real deep. I wonder if they're going all out and from a playbook standpoint because how the numbers are down. I think the offensive line is coming along nicely. There's three or four guys up there I'm pretty impressed with. The quarterback thing, you know, you can continue to watch Brendan Lewis. I thought Drew Carter threw the ball pretty well over the weekend. We're not going to get a lot of looks, you know, in real live action from JT Shroud in spring because he's still got the blue jersey on, and it's taken a while until he gets healthy until fall camp. And so that'll continue to be, I think, a work in progress from a quarterback standpoint. The real competition is going to take place once they get into camp around August 1st. I think R.J. Sneed, the Baylor wide receiver they brought in, looks to be a very solid receiver. I mean, he put up big numbers in Baylor. I think the more I see of him, the more I'm impressed. There's a lot of tight ends being played. I mean, you know, between Brady Russell, who's got the blue jersey on, by the way, so he's not going full go. But, you know, between he and Eric Olson and move on down the line with those tight ends, I mean, there's a lot of tight ends. My sense is the tight end is going to be a big part of this offense moving forward, so I think that's a good thing. On the defensive side, that secondary is growing. There's going to be some growing pains, I think, going through fall camp. I'm looking forward to see what they do in the scrimmage coming up on the 23rd. The linebacking core, there's depth there, as there is in the defensive front. I think we're still trying to figure out, you know, who those guys are and what that's going to look like when you lose veteran players like Nate Lambin and Carson Wells. But I do think there's a lot of opportunity. Guy Thomas has really flashed, I think, a few times, and we saw moments from him a year ago. So, yeah, there's a lot to look at it like. You know, if for a lot of teams, though, when you get to spring, you're kind of down on numbers because you've had graduation, you've had transfers, you've got some injuries, and so you're kind of playing with half a deck, if you will, for spring ball. And so, yeah, I'm learning as much as I can. I think there's reason to be optimistic.
Yeah, and again, you're right. Spring ball is always kind of that interesting time where you're getting snippets of it. You're kind of getting a preview maybe of what fall looks like. But still, so much work to be done. But you're saying, hey, I'm optimistic that Carl Durrell and company can get this offense back on the right foot because we did see some positive things at the end of the season.
Yeah, and, well, you know, here's the good news, right? When you're the 129th ranked offense in America, there's nowhere to go but up. So that's why, I mean, you know, they're going to be better. They're not going to be the 129th ranked offense in America again in 2022. That I guarantee you. They are going to get better. There's tools there. Now, most important, and I don't care if this is the Colorado Buffaloes, the Denver Broncos, or, you know, some peewee team up there in Greeley, you've got to play better at the quarterback position. That's going to determine everything. You know, you're only as in the modern game, you're only as good as your quarterback. We have found that out. That's why everyone's still, you know, celebrating here in the Mile High City and all around the state of Colorado because they got a pretty good quarterback finally, right? And so that's going to be ultra important. That's why when they get to camp in August, and you're going to have JT Schrout going full go, and Maddox Kopp is going to have a full spring under his belt and all summer on 7-on-7 work. And you're going to see Drew Carter, being a little bit older, and Brendan Lewis looking to be the starter for the second row. Okay, now you've got some competition. And so that's going to be ultra important. You know, once you and I are chatting in the month of August, that'll be the thing we'll be looking at and watching and keeping tabs of every single week.
Yeah, no doubt about it, my friend Mark. Appreciate you as always. And we'll look to catch up with you next week, okay?
All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right, Mark Johnson, that's the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. 48 minutes after the hour. I still have a pair of tickets to give away for Rockies Cubs tomorrow night. So stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss that opportunity. What's going on at the University of Northern Colorado on the football side of things? Something pretty big that, you know, probably shouldn't have been big, but it is a pretty big story. We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard, weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.